Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Daddy, we bless you today. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you. We bless you. We praise you. We adore you. Father, thank you for bringing us back together again, even to break bread with my brothers and sisters. Please, Father God, speak to us today. Give us understanding. Open our hearts, our minds, and teach us your truth, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord, beloved. This is Brother Joshua here again, by the mercies of God. We have been speaking about Christian growth, and we have been speaking about the parable of the sower as a subset from that, and we spoke about the 30-fold soil, the righteous. Now we are continuing on the 60-fold soil, which we identified from the scriptures as the faithful. And we're going to continue on that from where we stopped at the last episode. We were speaking about 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1, where it says, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk, and to please God, so you would abound more and more." Now, we noted that the scriptures, the Holy Spirit is telling us through Paul that we ought to walk, W-A-L-K, and to please God. And we noted that when we hear things like, when God looks at me, he doesn't see me, he sees Jesus. That is a little deceptive, if I may use that word. We noted previously that Jesus is already pleasing to God. Jesus is already pleasing to the Father. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." We heard that at his baptism. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, we heard that again. So the Father is already well pleased with him. We see that also in Philippians. And God gave him a new name. So, when the scripture says that we should walk, we ought to walk and please God, It means that God sees us. No. God doesn't have vision problems. He doesn't wear Jesus colored glasses. No. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus, we are forgiven. Because of sacrifice of Jesus, we are washed. Because of Jesus, we are no more orphans, but we are now translated to the kingdom of his dear son. We are no more in darkness because of Jesus. Now the spotlight is on us to please God. So don't tell me that whenever God looks at me, he only sees Jesus. Even if I'm in a harlot's house, he only sees Jesus. Are you serious? Even if I got born again last year and I go visit a harlot today, he only sees Jesus. Even if I got born again last week and I'm stealing my employer's cash from the cash register where I'm supposed to be a clerk collecting money for my employer, God only sees Jesus. Even if I got born again last year, 10 years ago, whatever, I made a profession of Christ, and I'm right here, right now, sticking a dagger in this man's chest so that I could rob him of his money and his shoes and his gold chain and whatever else I lost for. God only sees Jesus. Beloved, are you serious? God sees Jesus in that harlot's house. God sees Jesus stabbing that man to death. God sees Jesus stealing their employer's money. Are you serious? He doesn't see you? He doesn't see me? I don't know how people make this stuff up. Fables, tales, they sound good. They rub you in that good spot, and it makes you feel all fuzzy and, you know, all comfy in church. Oh, no, no, don't rock the boat, Brother Josh. Well, I don't know what to say to you, beloved. But let me leave that alone for now. Let me leave that alone. We are continuing on where we picked up, where we stopped, I should say, last episode. And we're speaking about the things that please God. Yeah, the things that please God. And oh, by the way, I hope you have your Bible with you. Because when we go on this exploration, you have to have your Bible, beloved. Unless, of course, you are driving. You know, please be safe. Don't do that. Just, you can listen. I'm not going to, by the mercies of God, I'm going to tell you a lie. I'm going to quote the scriptures as I see it in the scriptures. It is what it is. But it's good if you have your Bible nearby so you can read along. We've talked about that in earlier episodes. Acts 17:10-11. The Christians in Berea went to check whether what Paul said was in the scriptures. It is what it is. Don't just believe. You receive and you verify, because you can read, beloved. I hope you can read. I pray you can read. Well, if you don't, it's not too late to start to learn to read. But at least you should have an audio Bible or something. Anyways, just for you to verify. Because, oh well, let me not digress. We were speaking about the things that please God. And we spoke about different things in the last episode. I don't have to repeat them today. But those things that do please God, if you look at them, they're just examples of Christian living. That's what they are. Christian living indeed. D-E-E-D, and not in word only, not in confession only. And that is where you see your examples of faithfulness. Like we said also in an earlier episode, faithfulness is in the doing. It moves beyond the confessing. Anyways, continuing with that, we want to look at some things that do not please God. Because if there are things that please God, there are some things that don't please God. Beloved, God is a person. And our being persons, however you want to define that, is because we are made in the image of God, that is a person. A person. You have your own will. You have your own likes. You have your own dislikes. You have your own beliefs. In the case of our relationship with God, it is His beliefs that count. Oh, yes. Because He's a good God. It is His will that counts. Mm-hmm. Mm. Ask Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, came on the earth in the Garden of Gethsemane. The only prayer Jesus prayed that was never answered by the Father. Well, because Jesus withdrew it before the Father answered the prayer. Said, let this cup pass from me. I know you, Father. You can do anything. You can wave your hand and everybody is saved. But the Father's will was for sacrifice to be made, sinless sacrifice, so that you and I would be redeemed. And it was the Son that was the sinless sacrifice. And Jesus says, Father, let this cup pass from me. But He says, you know what? Nevertheless, not what I will, but Thy will be done. We see that, for example, it's in the Gospels. Let me just pull up at least one reference for that, so we can see where we're talking about. Matthew 26 talks about it. Matthew 26, verse 39, From 38, then said he, that's Jesus, unto them, his disciples, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. 39, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Matthew 26:39. Matthew 26:41. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus was talking about himself. Then 42, Matthew 26, verse 42. He prayed a second time. Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Then, verse 44. Matthew 26:44. He left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. What are we saying? What we're saying is that there is the person of God. There's a personality of God. He has a person. I mean, he is a person, I should say. So, when we are, it shouldn't be strange to us when I talk about the things that please God and the things that don't please God. He doesn't just look at everything with Jesus colored glasses and says everything is hunky-dory, everything is great. No, guys, no, no. Forget all that fable stuff. No. He looks, and some things he's pleased with, and some things he's not pleased with. It's as simple as that. Well, it's not too complicated, beloved. The things that please God, according to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1, cause us to abound more and more. The things that don't please God cause depletion in our lives. Let's go to Romans 8, verse 1 to 8. Romans 8, we'll read from verse 1 to verse 8. We'll take it a little slowly so that we don't miss some of too many things in here. God help me. Unless the Lord helps me, I can't put them in order because there are just too many things that jump out. But let's try and take it slowly. Romans 8 verse 1 to verse 8, the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, some of your translations omit that last part that I just read, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. They stop at, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Why they do that? I don't know. But hey, let's continue. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Again, here's the qualifier, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He repeats what he said in verse 1. Now, the translations, I believe they don't omit it this second time. But, well, let me not say much about that. Now, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay, so we see here a major issue, a major category of the things that do not please God. So let me read it again, verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, please do not read that to mean that if you are in the flesh, meaning if you are a human being, you cannot please God. That's not what it means. If that was the case, then Jesus couldn't have pleased God because he came in the flesh. So being in the flesh doesn't mean the person has flesh, is a human being. That's not what it means. It means the person succumbs, the person goes after, the person is led by the desires of the flesh. You can be flesh. Every human being is flesh, and not be in the flesh. That is, in your mind. It's called carnality. It's being led by fleshly desires. It's being led by what the flesh wants. We'll see that in a minute. Romans is telling us that when we are led by the flesh, we cannot please God. Now, Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So, you and I can be in Christ Jesus and from that point, vantage point, choose to walk after the flesh or choose to walk after the Spirit. No, it's not a contradiction, beloved. No. It says it right there very plainly. There is therefore now no condemnation to them, Romans 8:1, which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So you have the capability to walk after the flesh, even though you are in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And he repeats it again in verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The qualifier is how are they working, W-A-L-K. You had 12 apostles that were with Christ. Mm-hmm. But one of them, Judas, was having his eyes on money. The Bible says he was a thief. The Bible says he went to meet the Pharisees, the religious council, and bargained with them to be paid money to deliver Jesus up. Yes, he was with Christ, but he was walking after something else that was contrary to Christ. The scriptures is letting us know that, don't forget now, this epistle is to Christians. The New Testament is to Christians. Romans is addressed to believers. It's not addressed to unbelievers. And it's saying, it is fulfilled in us who do not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, to get a little bit more clarity on the issue of being in the flesh, let us read that again, that Romans 8 from verse, let's start from 5. For they that are after the flesh, they are going after the desires of the flesh, do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Then he now catch this change now of words. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, Christ has reconciled us with God, but when we start operating in a carnal mind, we are creating enmity with the same God that Christ had previously reconciled us with. Ah, help us, Jesus. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The carnal mind doesn't obey God's word. It won't, it can't. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. There is a substitution from verse 5 to verse 8 of minding the things of the flesh to being carnally minded. I hope you get that. Verse 5. They that are in the flesh mind the things of the flesh. Then verse 6 now says that minding the things of the flesh means the person is carnally minded. Because carnal, well, it's, I think that's where the Spanish language gets its word carne, which is meat, which is flesh. So, carnal is flesh. So to be carnally minded is minding the things of the flesh. And minding the things of the flesh, which is carnally mindedness, verse 7 says, is making God your enemy. Right there in verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Then verse 8 now says, so then, as a conclusion, after verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So that conclusion means the things that have been described from 5, 6, and 7 are what constitute being in the flesh. I hope you get that, beloved. So being in the flesh is minding the things of the flesh, which is being carnally minded. And a person that is carnally minded is an enemy of God. And verse 8 says, God is not pleased with such. Beloved, I'm not making this up. I'm just reading it right there. Right there. So you can have a believer, because we're not instructed right, or we're not instructed right. Yeah, I'm saved, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, you are saved. The grace of God, Titus says, that appeared with salvation is going to teach you also certain things. It's going to teach you to live right. And like we just saw in Thessalonians, that's how we're going to abound. And no, beloved, God does not wear Jesus-colored glasses when looking at the world. If he did, there would be no judgment. Like I said, I don't know how this stuff gets made up, but let me leave that alone. What are we talking about, beloved? We're talking about pleasing God and abounding from the 30-fold soil to the 60-fold soil to the 100-fold soil. If we are pleasing God with walking with God, W-A-L-K, and doing the good works, W-O-R-K, that he already prepared for us to do. You find that in Ephesians 2:10. When we are pleasing him, we are going to abound. But beloved, if we are displeasing God, we're not going to abound. That is why Jude, in chapter 1, verse 12, Jude is a very condensed book. So we need God's grace, like with other scriptures, to understand it. Jude chapter 1 verse 12 says, "These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth," meaning they had fruit, then it withered. "Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots." So, what are we saying? When we walk and please God, we abound more and more. When we are walking and not pleasing God, the opposite of abounding, the opposite of multiplication, the opposite of addition and multiplication takes place, which is subtraction and division. So in Jude that I just read, chapter 1 verse 12, he says, talking about certain persons, you can read it for context, but it's applicable. We can get the meat from it here. Trees, say these persons are trees whose fruit withers. Don't forget, we are trees of righteousness, the plantings of the Lord. Isaiah 61 verse 3. But these persons, Jude say, they are without fruit. So they are twice dead. The tree that has no fruit is dead. The tree that had fruit and is fruit withered is also a dead tree, spiritually speaking. So the ground that abounds 30-fold now abounds 60-fold. But if it's not abounding 60-fold, and that ground is not walking to please God, there is serious possibility of withering of the fruit. Because Luke chapter 8 verse 14, talking about the soil, the thorny soil, says, "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection." Bring no fruit to perfection. They are bringing fruit, but at the end of the day, it's not a perfect fruit. I've seen that. I've planted corn, and some of you, I'm sure you have also, or some people call it maize, and other crops have the same symptoms also. When that corn is growing and is well moisturized and fertilized, and the weeds around it are removed, it grows and brings forth a healthy cob of corn, one or two, on the stalk. But if you leave it alone with weeds, you leave it alone with thorns, and they grow with it, what Luke 8:14 says happens to that corn plant, because they will still have one or two cobs of corn on that stalk at harvest time. I've seen it over, I saw it over and over again. They will still have it. But when you open that cob of corn, it looks like you went to a dentist and got his teeth pulled out. You see one or two grains here and one or two grains over there, and the rest is blank. That is not a perfect fruit, beloved. That corn stalk has not brought forth fruit to perfection. Oh well, my time is up for today. Beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. See you next time, beloved.